Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. There are things that are going to come into your life, into my life, by faith and by prayer, that we will one day hold in our hands. We will one day experience. But right now, they're invisible. But just because they're invisible doesn't mean they don't exist.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we begin an exciting series called Now Faith Is. Stay tuned as Pastor Jeff shares important biblical truths that are fundamental to our understanding of what true faith is all about. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
One of the most taught about subjects in the church world is faith. Yet faith is often misunderstood and misrepresented. What does the Bible really say about faith? What is faith and where does it come from? In this brand new series entitled Now Faith Is, we're going to begin by exploring the Bible's teachings about faith. I believe this series is going to not only clear some cobwebs of misunderstanding from our minds, but will also build our faith to a whole new place. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Now Faith Is.
I want to talk to you about faith today. The Bible says that we live by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what faith tells us and not by what things tell us, circumstances tell us. We walk by faith, not by what we see, taste, touch, smell, or hear. We walk by faith and not by the sight of our eyes. Our salvation begins by faith. God carries us through this life by faith. Faithful is he who has called you, who also will do it. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the God that began your faith is going to perfect your faith, and your faith is going to carry you across the finish line to the day that Jesus comes again and the trumpet blows and you are taken up into glory. By faith we walk and not by sight. We are people of faith and not experience. We are people of faith and not the senses. But now let me ask you, having said that, how many times are we moved by what we see? How many times are we afraid? How many times do we doubt? How many times are we hindered? How many times are we deterred? How many times are we held back? How many times are we down based on what we see? I want to talk to you today right out of the most familiar verse on faith in the entire Bible, Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And I'm just calling this today, Now Faith Is. And here's the way you read it. You don't read it, Now Faith Is. You read it this way. Now faith is, because the Holy Ghost is about to give us a definition. Now faith is. And what we read next is the definition from God of what faith is. So everybody say, Now faith is. Now let's read it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now listen to verse 3, powerful. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Powerful. The things you can see were made by things you can't see. Now let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the word of God that is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it discerns the motivations of our heart. I pray that you would increase our faith. You know, the disciples asked Jesus to do that one day. Can we just pray it together? Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase our faith today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, now faith is. Now faith is. Now this is the famous Bible verse. It's the defining verse on faith in the New Testament. I want to read you another version because I like this version so much, and it just puts it in a way I want you to hear it. It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. The certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we can't see it up ahead. Now, I like the way the King James puts this verse because it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. There is a yet in there. I wish the New King James had put in there, because yet means you don't see it yet. It's on the way. It's just not there yet. It gives us an expectation that what we're praying for, though we don't see it, it's yet we don't see it. We don't see it yet. God is getting it ready. It's just not here yet. And until it arrives, we are walking by faith and not by sight. Now, let me unpack this verse today because it's very powerful. We are all people of faith. How many of you can say, I'm a born-again child of God? You're born again and you know it. Lift your hands high and wave them. You are born again and you know it. All right. We are people of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our salvation began by faith. We walk through life by faith, and we go home to glory by faith. Now, this passage teaches us some key things. First of all, it tells us faith believes what your eyes can't see. Faith believes and is convinced of, totally persuaded of, something you can't sense, something you can't see. It says faith is a substance, which means guarantee. Faith is the guarantee of things you're hoping for. It is the evidence, which means confidence or assurance of things you can't see. Now, what this verse is telling us is that just because something is invisible doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's telling us that there are things invisible that are just as real as things that are visible. Faith sees things that are invisible, but they exist. Now, let me just make a distinction here. People who claim, for instance, that Martians landed and visited them in their living room and they were talking to them for a while, and then they took off again and went back to Mars, are not just talking about something invisible, but something non-existent. If you think Martians landed in your living room and talked to you for a while and went back, and I see you after church, I've got a place I want you to visit. See, there are things that people talk about that they say are invisible but real, but myths and fables and fairy tales and stories made up by people not only talk about things that are invisible, but they don't exist. Zeus doesn't exist. The Greek gods don't exist. There are all kinds of things that not only are invisible, but they don't exist. But that's not true of the God of the Bible. He is invisible, yet he exists. He exists. Just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's not real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. There are things that are going to come into your life, into my life, by faith and by prayer that we will one day hold in our hands. We will one day experience. But right now they're invisible. But just because they're invisible doesn't mean they don't exist. Now, there are a lot of people in our day, especially with this flood of new atheism and these arrogant new atheists, and I say that because that's the way they come over so often, and I love them and I talk to them, but they've really multiplied. We're in a day of what has been called the new atheism, and there's a lot of people who are now saying, oh, there's no God, I don't need God, I've been liberated from believing in God. And they say, you're a fool for believing in a God you can't see. One professing atheist left a Facebook comment to a Christian lady who had thanked God for getting her through a tough day, to which he mockingly replied in Facebook, yeah, go and pray to your magic invisible friend in the sky. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Well, yes, Mr. Atheist. God is invisible to the natural eye, but that doesn't mean he doesn't exist. And my Bible tells me if you say he doesn't exist because you can't see him, you're a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And it's very interesting there that the word God is from the Hebrew word Elohim. So here's what it really means. It means the fool has said in his heart, there is no creator. Because just because you can't see him doesn't mean he doesn't exist. Our atheist friend should know that many things are invisible, but they aren't non-existent. The wind is invisible. You have never seen the wind. Not once have you ever seen the wind, but you have seen what it does. You can feel it, but you can't see it. We can't see the atoms that make up all of matter, yet they certainly do exist. You can't see heat, you can't see cold, but they exist. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean he doesn't exist. There are things that are invisible, but they are not non-existent, and God is one of them. There are endless things that are invisible. In verse 3, get this. We're told that everything we can see, even in this sanctuary, I see you, I see the chairs, I see the lights, I see the screens, I see the walls, I see the building, everything that I can see. When I go out at night and I see the endless stars and planets, the sun and the moon, the beautiful birds, the incredible animals, when I look at the ocean, when I look at everything that exists, everything I can see, the Bible tells me that it was created by things we cannot see, but exist. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, we understand that. But not stupid faith, not silly faith, not groundless faith, but totally justified faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The invisible God created all visible things by the power of his word. And by the way, the word frame there, it's so beautiful. The worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand by faith the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word frame is not only talking about the creating of the planets in our universe, but it's also talking about how God arranged them in the beautiful order they're in now. He not only flung the stars into space and created the planets, but he caused them to spin. He caused them to rotate around the sun. He caused them to exist in a perfect balance, in a perfect synchrony, in a perfect symphony. God did that. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand by faith that God flung them out there, that he spoke them into existence. We understand by faith that the entire universe came from nothing but the rhema word of God. Verse 3 is telling us that the things we can see were not made out of existing matter, out of something that was already there. Like a snowman comes from snow. We make a snowman out of snow. The chair you're sitting in was made out of things that already existed. And this verse 3 is telling us that God created everything we can see out of nothing. He did not use material that was already there. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be animals, and there were animals. He said, let there be the fishes of the sea, and all marine life came into being. He said, let there be stars, let there be the sun, let there be the moon. And by the rhema word of God, something came out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing. He made it out of nothing. He spoke and it was. He spoke and it came into being. So a God we cannot see, who lives in a heaven we cannot see, surrounded by angels we cannot see, spoke and something appeared out of nothing. And that's why I can guarantee you we did not come from evolution. Can I tell you the truth about evolution today? Evolution has never and never will accounted for the beginning of things. Because evolution cannot account for the beginning of things. See, origins can only be explained by a God who spoke something out of nothing. If I had a glass jar here today, and there was nothing in it, and I put no water in it, no dirt in it, no nothing in it, and I put the top on it, screwed the top tight, and put it into a shelf, and left it for 100 years, and then went after 100 years, and took it out of the shelf, and opened it, you know what's going to be there? Nothing. Because nothing can only produce nothing. Something never comes out of nothing. That's why you are not fearfully and wonderfully evolved. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you. He fashioned you. You are a design of God. You've got a purpose and a reason to be on this planet. Almighty God allowed you to be here. And the Bible says He fashioned you and formed you in your mother's womb. Evolution didn't bring you here. God brought you here. The Rhema word of God brought you here. Ask any evolutionary scientist, where did everything begin? They can't answer it. It can't be answered. Only a creative God can bring something out of nothing. And you know, the Bible makes no apologies for calling God invisible. Our atheist friend who made fun of this girl who was giving glory to God for helping her through a tough day. Oh yeah, your magic invisible friend in the sky. Well, the Bible fully admits that God is invisible. Paul said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We're told in Hebrews that by faith, he, Moses, I love this one. Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Wait a minute. How did he see a God who's invisible? By the eye of faith. See, you got two natural eyes, but you've got an eye of faith. You've got faith, and that faith has an eye. And that faith sees things that aren't there, but are real. Come on, everybody. Now, you say, well, I don't know about that, Jeff. Well, how many of you love Jesus? Raise your hand if you love Jesus. You have never seen him. How are you in love with a Savior that you have never seen? You have never seen Jesus. And yet you love him. How did you fall in love with a Savior that you've never seen, who isn't even walking around on this planet? And yet John said, having not seen him, you love him. How could that be? Because faith allows us to relate to a God who is invisible, that we've never seen, yet he exists. And you can actually, literally fall slap happy in love with God, who you have never seen. Well, I look forward to the day that I see him, but I don't have to see him to know him. But I look forward to the day that I see him face to face, and I will be like him, for I will see him as he is, John said. But you love a Savior you've never seen. And that's the power of faith. Moses left Egypt, not afraid of the king, and walked with the people of God because he saw him who is invisible. Paul told the Colossians, for by him, that is Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth. Listen to this. This is so important. Visible and invisible. Now stop right there. Did you catch that? It's telling us that Jesus, who was active in creation, nothing that was made, there is nothing that was made that didn't flow through the fingertips of Jesus, says John in his gospel in the first chapter. Jesus was active in the creation. So it says, by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and earth, and notice, visible and invisible. Right there, the Bible is telling us that God made some things that we can see, and he made some things we can't see. But the things we can't see are just as real as the things we can see. As a matter of fact, the things we can't see are more endurable and everlasting and eternal than the things we can see. Because everything we can see is temporary. It's what we can't see that is eternal. He says, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, he made some things that are absolutely invisible, yet they are real. So God, says Paul, created some things that are visible and some that are invisible, yet they exist. To young Timothy, Paul writes, now to the King eternal, immortal, and what, everyone? Invisible. The Bible informs us that we are surrounded right now by an invisible spiritual world that we can't see with the naked eye, but it's oh very real. Well, I'll give you an example. When Elisha and his servant Gehazi were surrounded by the Syrian army and the word of God in the Old Testament, you can read about it. His servant Gehazi panicked. And he said, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by the army. There's only two of us, and there's this huge army, this Syrian army that have come to take us. And Elisha said, don't fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now Gehazi looked around. He said, dude, what are you talking about? I see you and me and me and you. I don't see some vast army greater than the Syrian army that is coming against us. And Elisha kind of yawned and he prayed. He said, Lord, I pray, I love this, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. What did he see? Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, there is a spiritual world right now that is in touch with this world, and we can't see it unless God opens our eyes. But it's there. It's there. Just because Gehazi could not see them didn't mean the invisible angels of God weren't all around them. And they were quickly delivered from the Syrian army by the power of God and the forces that God unleashed on their behalf. Folks, if we could see right now, if God would just for a moment open our eyes, like Elisha prayed, Lord, open their eyes. We would see angels, we would see cherubim, we would see seraphim, we would see demons, we would see an incredible conflict in the spiritual world taking place with great intensity right now. It's there. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Now I'm reading all these verses to show that walking by faith is not the practice of simple, gullible, backwoods, non-intellectual hayseeds who don't know any better, as they like to say about us. But Bible faith is all about believing a God who you cannot see. To by faith bring into your world things you can't see, but that are coming your way and that exist in Jesus Christ. And until what is over there arrives over here, our faith is the guarantee that it's on the way. Has God given you faith for something? That faith is the guarantee. It is as good as the thing that you're waiting for being there. It's the guarantee. If you've got faith, it's the guarantee. How many of you believe you're going to heaven one day? Where did you get that belief? You got it by the faith that God gave you, and that faith is as good. It's the guarantee that one day you're going to be there. It is the guarantee. For instance, faith told Abraham that he would hold his own son. But for 25 years, he held nothing but God's promise. And yet he had the faith. And his faith was as good as Isaac, his son, to be being there. Faith told David he would one day sit as king over Israel. And for 10 years, he sat huddled in caves and open fields, stalked by a madman. But his faith said, I'm going to be the king over Israel. I see it, though it's not here yet. Faith told Elijah it was going to rain. Those six times, his servant reported nothing but blue skies. But catch this. Elijah knew that it was going to rain. There had been a 3.5-year drought. God told him to pray for the rain to come, and he began to pray. His faith said it's going to rain. He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. But all there was blue skies. But the blue skies did not affect his faith. He said, I don't care if the skies are blue. I don't care if I don't see any evidence of rain at all. My faith tells me it's going to rain. Six times he sent the servant back to look. Six times the servant came back with a negative report. I see blue skies, only blue skies. There's only blue skies, boss. I'm sorry, only blue skies.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message entitled, Now Faith Is. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.